dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Kind of an exciting time. Everybody's still in it for the most part. We're into high school football quarterfinals and semifinals, state volleyballs this week. UNK is going to the D2 playoffs. Hastings got a chance to make the NAIA playoffs. Final game of the regular season, probably need a win. They've got that coming up. The Huskers, well, say what you want. They still have a chance at the Big 12 North, and so a lot of stuff to talk about. Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Big Daddy Tony Davis, and our producer engineer Derek Stenson with us today. Mike Babcock from Huskers Illustrated is going to join us here in about 3 minutes from the press conference. We will have Bo Pelini today, and also on the program today, because it's football playoff time, Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report.
Yeah, what a great day for football this late in the year. Obviously, the weather straightened itself out. It should be a great night for some high school football.
Hastings, St. Cecilia, and Crofton will start the coverage today on 1230 AM KHAS. Kickoff from beautiful Duncan Field is at 3:30 this afternoon. Then here on ESPN Radio at 5:30, and all these are 30-minute pregame, but at 5:30, the kickoff, Palmer will be hosting Amherst. Palmer's a good football team. I hope Amherst can give them a football game today, and they surprise every single time. And Amherst has got it pointed in the right direction. That should be interesting. Pleasanton is hosting Sargent. Kickoff at 6 o'clock on Classic Hits, 98.9 KKPR. And at 7 o'clock, Overton travels to Giltner on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. You can hear all those games on the World Wide Web, ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com.
But now, Doug, we got to change our attention to the man that has fixed the offense and has promised us this week the offense will be fixed.
Mike Babcock from Huskers Illustrated joins us this morning. Mike, is that true?
Hey, I was going to ask you that. Is that true? Did I fix it?
Well, Mike, we were kind of discussing here before the show that maybe you're it, because I got to thinking, have you had your media credential in the press box longer than anybody else there?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, of the people that actually are covering it, yeah, I would guess that's right. I've had it since.
So, are you as confused as everybody else about this is a great football team yet we can't score points?
Well, I'm confused anyway, just as a matter of course of my life. So in that sense, it probably doesn't. It's just one more element of my life that I don't understand. But I'm a little bit confused, and I don't know if you could use the word great for that football team, because it is. I wouldn't say one dimensional, because I think the special teams have played pretty well too. But if you look at the three aspects of it, offense, defense, and special teams, offense really doesn't fit in that category of great, or, you know, lately it hadn't even been in the category of mediocre. So that's a tough call, but you certainly look at it and you say, man, what would this be like if say you had a reasonable facsimile of the offense a year ago, playing with the defense this year and special teams? That would be quite a combination.
Mike, that has been my question all along. All, you know, call it, say Joe Gans, say Peterson Swift, say what you want. What has changed? Because it looks like to me, maybe the depth of running back, what has changed so dramatically in a year?
Well, I think you've hit on three significant aspects of it, because I think that for one thing, Joe Gans had remarkable leadership and that tough mindedness that allowed him to hang around for 4 years and think that he was maybe never going to get his chance, and when it came, he took advantage of it. You can't replicate that. And so you can talk about quarterbacks that are faster than he was, or quarterbacks that have a stronger arm than he was. Doesn't necessarily add up to the fact that they were better quarterbacks than him. So one thing is Joe Gans. Another thing is the chemistry that he had with Todd Peterson and with Nate Swift. Those guys came in together, played on the scout squad together. They roomed together. I mean, they had that kind of communication between quarterback and receiver that is unique, and it's hard to replicate. So I think that was a big factor. Then I think that there were significant losses in the offensive line. You know, Matt Slauson was an anchor in there. He had started games since his freshman year, since he was a true freshman. I think that was a big loss as well. And then you look at the way the IBAC situation was a year ago, and I know everybody probably felt like Marlon Lucky kind of fell off by the time he was a senior, but when you have Marlon Lucky, Roy Alou, healthy for the most part, and Quint Castile, you had a running back situation that was much better than it has been this year. Now, you know, there were times against Oklahoma where you felt like maybe Roy Alou was his old self, you know, that ability to break a big play, 63-yard run, 25-yard run. You know, that kind of thing will open up the passing game if there's that threat, and there hadn't been that threat. So I just think that some of the losses were significant on offense, and they just haven't got to the point where they execute consistently, where they play the kind of error-free football that's necessary to make a thing work.
Mike Babcock joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's in Lincoln getting ready for Bo Pelini's press conference. We'll air that for you here in our second half hour. Mike, is the defense, I mean, as struggling as the offense is, everybody is talking about this defense being so great, and that seemed to be where some of the more legitimate question marks were in the backers and the secondary coming into the season. Is this really the greatest defense this university has seen?
You know, I think that's pretty extreme. I don't think you can make that claim. You know, people want to do that, and it seems like maybe a characteristic of this time and place. You know, everything has to be the greatest, and we want things quickly, and things change from one week to the next. But, you know, I think the thing that probably underscores how good the defense is the fact that Oklahoma ran 87 plays against Nebraska, and these guys held up. You figure when a team is able to run 87 plays against you, even one or two breakdowns is a very small percentage of those 87 plays. And Nebraska did make some mistakes defensively, but, man, to allow 3 points in a situation like that when you're on the field that much, guys were cramping up and some guys were playing with little bumps and bruises, which you have to do. I just thought it was an impressive defensive performance all the way around. And there's been that consistency with the defense, but, the best all time, no, I probably not. I mean, it's got to go a ways to go with some of those defenses that won national championships. You know, they were involved in national championships. Some of that's the offense, too, and I guess that's another aspect of this defense that these guys are playing well because they're on the field. Again, as the Oklahoma game, the offense isn't giving a whole lot of help. So it's a very good defense, but, I would fall short of saying that it's, you know, as good as Nebraska's ever had.
Mike Water Cooler talk all over has said, well, the defense can't do it every week. I say, well, they've done it so far every week. Why would we think they can't do it the next 3 weeks? Your thought on that?
No, you're exactly. I agree with you. I mean, we've seen that. And now I have some questions going into the Oklahoma game. I came away from that game with more respect for the defense than I'd had before, and I had respect for the defense. But, you know, I kind of had that mentality. Well, you know, can this defense do it week after week after week? Certainly stepped up against Oklahoma, certainly stepped up against Virginia Tech. The big test there, and I don't want to make Virginia Tech's offense sound like anything, but, you know, the circumstances, you respond to the circumstances. And so, I would respond the same way you do. Why not? We've seen it consistently. We're 9 games into the season now, and we haven't seen a letdown, so why would we expect it?
Mike Babcock joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike, you're the first person to agree with Daddy since, I don't know, his wife said I do. So I'm a little scared about that, my friend.
Well, I told you I was confused about a lot of things. Maybe I'm confused. Maybe I'm confused about agreeing with him. Maybe I don't. But no, I think that's a good point. I believe that the consistency, we've seen it through 9 games. That's a good test to say if it's been consistent, and I think it has.
My one thing that I was confused with the other night, I think it's fine. You want to switch the quarterback up, whatever. But to do it on the 1 yard line, a guy hadn't taken a snap all night. What if Zach Lee bobbles that snap and Oklahoma recovers down there? What would the heat of? I just don't understand. You put the position you put the kid in.
Well, I think that from my point of view, that just represented the confidence they had in him. At that point, they thought we're going to put him in there. He's going to get the ball in the end zone, and then we're going to make that 7 points hold up. I mean, I really think that that was the point at which they made the decision. Hey, we need to go with the guy that has the more experience, the guy that can manage this offense better, and not necessarily the guy that's going to make a big play out of it, but also the guy that isn't going to make mistakes. And so I think that's why they put him in there. I think it was a reflection of the confidence they had in him that he could manage the offense. And I think that's, you know, basically what they did from that point on, you know, get the lead and then tread water and don't put your defense in bad situations.
Mike Babcock joins us for just another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show on press conference day in Lincoln. Mike, what do you see in the next 3 weeks for this team? Because everybody's going to have the rose-colored glasses on because we beat Oklahoma, but, you know, Oklahoma helped us a little bit. Landry Jones wasn't that good. We had one first down in the first half. I don't see a lot of things that have changed since the three previous games with Tech and Iowa State and Baylor, except we haven't turned it over quite as much. So what should we expect the final three games?
Well, you know, I think that hopefully the team will have the focus that fans and observers we don't have, and that is that, you know, 2 weeks ago we were looking at, well, Nebraska, you know, just needs to worry about playing out the season, being successful and getting in a good bowl game. You know, chances of being in the Big 12 championship game aren't very good. Now we beat Oklahoma, and it's like, well, okay, it's the Big 12 championship game now, and then what can happen? Kansas could be a trap game because this team hasn't necessarily been through a situation where it has to had to deal with success. You know, everybody was fired up about the team after the loss at Virginia Tech, and then things kind of went south on them a little bit after the Missouri game. So I'll be interested to see how the team plays at Kansas. I don't take anything for granted, but I think that if this team obviously plays to its capability, Kansas isn't going to be a challenge. But I haven't seen that. You know, how do you follow up a successful effort? Can you handle success? That's the big question now. If Nebraska plays well at Kansas, then I'll feel pretty good about it because you really control your own destiny as far as getting to that Big 12 championship game. But I want to see how the team handles success. Does it have the focus necessary to finish out the way it should, which is to win these last three games?
Well, what does your gut tell you, Mike? You've been around enough teams to know. What about what your gut tells you about this team, the odds that they win the final three and somehow get to 9-3?
You know, my gut feeling is that, no, they won't win all three of them. I think they'll win two. I think they'll have, you know, that Kansas State thing, the game is probably going to be the one that decides who goes to the Big 12 championship game. If that's the one out of the three that Nebraska doesn't win, then, you know, so be it. It won't be a Big 12 championship game, but you know, I don't see them winning all three. But I do see them realistically have a chance to get to the Big 12 championship game.
Mike, last thing I've got for you is I want to know your gut feeling on this. As bad as the offense has been, throw out the three Sun Belt championship games we played. As bad as they've been, do the numbers simply force Bo Pelini to make changes on this staff?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think he has confidence in the guys that he has. I think you know, what we're looking at now is do the best you can, finish out strong, as best, however that's defined, and then look at maybe restructuring some things in the spring, but not from a coaching standpoint. I don't think so. I don't think there'll be changes.
Well, Mike, we'll let you get in and hear what the coach has to say. We appreciate it, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Hey, great talking to you guys. Anytime.
See you, Mike. Mike Babcock, Huskers Illustrated, of course, author of quite a few great books that you can check out as well. His latest, The Vault, The Husker, just outstanding stuff. Mike Babcock joined us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, Bo Pelini's press conference coming up at the bottom of the hour, about 11:35 is usually when he gets things going. So let's take a break. When we come back, Bob Jensen to talk high school football right after this.
ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center is giving you an opportunity to save up to $600 on ReSound hearing aids during a special event November 18th and 19th. A representative from ReSound will be on hand for demonstrations and free consultations. During this special event, you can save up to $600 on ReSound hearing aids. ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center, 615 West 39th Street. Call today, 308-865-2277.
How do you say go Lopers? You say it with a Loper t-shirt, a Loper hat. You say it with a painted body and a giant foam finger. And you always say it with pride. Come gear up at the College Store in Kearney and get everything you need for the season. Stop by our new store before the game for incredible specials on all of our Loper merchandise. It's game day every day at the College Store. Located at 1420 West 24th Street in Kearney. Or online at thecollegestore.com/UNK. The College Store. Go Lopers!
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
The 40th Annual Gateway Farm Expo showcases over 225 exhibitors that will help your ag business succeed. While you browse, enjoy free lunches sponsored by Asgro DeKalb, the Fort Kearney Cattlemen's Association, Syngenta Seeds, and Platte Valley State Bank. That's November 11th and 12th at the Gateway Farm Expo in Kearney, Nebraska.
It's the Gateway Farm Expo.
The state high school football playoffs continue with quarterfinal action in Class C and D Tuesday on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com. It starts Tuesday afternoon at 3:30 with Hastings St. Cecilia hosting Crofton on 1230 KHAS. Right here on ESPN Radio, Amherst travels to Palmer at 5:30. On Classic Hits 98.9 FM, it will be Pleasanton hosting Sargent at 6, and the Breeze 94.5 has Overton at Gildner at 7. The state playoffs continue Tuesday right here.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with highs around 59. Southeast winds also develop and become gusty at times towards the afternoon. For tonight, skies turn partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of a shower late with a low at 41. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 50.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bob Jensen coming up next to talk about the state high school quarterfinals in classes C and D, and some semifinals in A and B going on this Saturday.
Doug, before we get to Bob, I want to talk about the number one going hybrids all across the land. Results are out of a 48 entry field plot, Roseland, Nebraska. 40 entries were LG seed, 2 were Pioneer hybrids, Dynagrow 57 V38 and 57 V07 also were involved. Top 2 hybrids in the 48 entry plot, 57 V07, number uno, 48 hybrids. They were uno out of 48, 257.1 bushel. Guess what was number 2? 57 V38, 250.6 bushel.
So as our friends that don't watch Dora the Explorer, they may not know that Uno and Dose is 1 and 2.
There you go. Results, 12 entry trial from Holders, Nebraska. 57 V38 was number 1, 252.5 bushel. 57 V07 came in number 2, 250 bushel. 57 V38 yielded 13.6 bushel. Over Golden Harvest 9180 GT3000. Boom, goes the dynamite, folks. We can talk about all the field trials coming into us today, but the result is the same. Dynagrow's out, yield them all. 1-800-652-9298. Call your local Dynagrow Seeds dealer today.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report.
He's got game.
And from the worldwide headquarters, Bob Jensen joins us on a Tuesday edition as we get ready for the state high school quarterfinals in C and D tonight. A and B go on to the semifinals on Saturday. Morning, Bob.
Hello there, Duda. How are you?
I am outstanding. You?
Tremendous. Got a great day for football, like Tony said. You know, he's right on top of this.
It's going to be a great day. Weather won't be a factor. We'll find out what everybody's got. So,
are you going east or are you going east or are you going west?
Well, actually, this is pretty strange. There's not very many times when there's quite a concentration of games around my home the way there is today. I'm actually not going to go very far from home. I'm going to check out that Hampton-Ewing game at 3. I believe I've called for the upset there. I believe I also had McGovern in 72, so I don't know if this is a real good deal for Hampton, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. I like Hampton's running game, and then there's a possibility I'm going to go to the Aquinas game at 4, and then I'm going to make my way back. I really want to see Palmer play. Palmer's got Amherst at 5:30, and then another, I don't know if it's an upset, I guess. It's a possible upset, but Overton and Giltner is going to be a great football game, and I wouldn't expect it to be a whole lot different than last week with Giltner and Excel.
Well, let's start there, Bob, because a lot of people want to see the Giltner-Palmer rematch. Is there a way that that does not happen?
Well, sure there is. I mean, I tell you, Overton found itself. I talked to Coach Snodgrass over there in Overton a few weeks ago, and he talked about the team's recommitment to power running. And, they've got Jared Hodson, they've got Jared Schaefer. I mean, you could put Jared from Subway in the backfield with them, and they would be in great shape. And I guess they'd be in great shape because we all know Jared's kept that weight off thanks to that diet. Anyway, the point is they can run the ball. And, this time of year, if you can run the ball and control the clock, which are two specialties at Overton, and then when you throw in the fact that Overton's one of the most seasoned postseason programs in the state the last 6-7 years, there's going to be no trepidation on their part going into to play a team like Giltner, good as they might be. So, I think it'd be great to see a rematch. But, I don't think there's much way that Amherst beats Palmer. They've answered the bell a couple times in the playoffs when they weren't necessarily expected to win. This is a huge step up, though, playing Palmer. So, but the Giltner-Overton game, I think, is going to be not only a great ball game, but there's going to be some great talent on the field, great eight-man talent. People that go to that game are going to see some very good players.
Bob, I want to go to C2, where a couple of our area teams with high expectations were bounced last week in Elm Creek and Ravenna. Looks to us on that side of the bracket, Hardington CC is going to beat Creighton and advance, and I'm not sure that Cambridge or Sutherland is going to give them much of a game. I fully expect Hardington to be playing in Memorial Stadium.
Well, and of course, Tony, just like Babcock said, you're right. I mean, really, we're lining up behind Tony right now, Doug.
He's reading my notes. Don't you people realize he's reading my notes?
I understand. He's speaking just like in high school English, okay? But the thing is, Cedar's good. You guys got a real good look at them last week, and that is a tremendous football program. Chet Cook, just a tremendous football player. Great running back, virtually unstoppable in a one-on-one. And then that Bottleson kid, Todd Bottleson in the offensive line. I don't know. We got to pay to the best offensive lineman in C2. I feel pretty good about that. I think that's fairly accurate, which is better than most of the things that I say. So the thing is that I think they've got more than enough to beat Creighton. Creighton had the perfect recipe for Elm Creek, and that was just throw everything they could at Derek Foster and make somebody else beat you. I mean, that sounds so simple, but that's not happened. But just one time, this whole season, I got to see a little bit of that game. And Foster's just an amazing talent. And even with that kind of duress, he still made some plays. They score on that first play of the fourth quarter, and maybe things are. We're talking about a different matchup, but. Bottom line, Creighton got the win. They are going to play Cedar, and I agree. I think we're headed for a Cedar Catholic Ponca final, which would be one of the best C2 finals in a long time.
All right, Robert, because we get this close to the end, we have to talk a little bit about the East, and all I have to do is look at Huskerland Prep Report. C1, C2, D1, D2, every single one of your number one teams is in the East. Explain yourself.
Well, it's true. I bought property at Carter Lake in Omaha. Some of that is, some of it's a one-year kind of deal. Some of it is a product of a lot of times it is a product of a superior schedule. But you talk about C1, I think the game that everybody wants to see happen, and I think and it's scary to do, but we're taking for granted we will see happen, is Saint Cecilia and Boys Town. And, you know, Boys Town, both those teams have got some work cut out for them, but I don't know. I like Boys Town a lot. I like Saint Cecilia as a real solid number two. We talked about C2. Bancroft's number one in D1, but, you know, you don't want to put an asterisk, but then again, there probably should be one because there's been beaten into the ground. You know, they beat Howells when Howells didn't have their quarterback. I think in a rematch, Howells wins that game. But Palmer could be the – I don't know. Palmer's just really good. I think Palmer is a legitimate threat to win D1. And then, I don't know, it's scary what St. Francis has done. I mean, they you know, it's just not a Friday night unless they win by 70 points. And, you know, with the running clock, it isn't like you can go out of your way to run it up. And I guess I want to be real clear when I say that they don't do that necessarily. But they're very good. I think they're a cut above the rest of that class. Like I said, I think there's a real strong chance that Ewing can get beat today. I think Hampton's the kind of team that could do it, but the team that could undo all of D2 is Pleasanton. I mean, Pleasanton's played a pretty good schedule, manhandled it. I look for them to win today. I don't know that it'll be real easy today. It's a rematch, and Sargent's got a talented team. Sargent's a year away from being really good. They're good now. They're going to be really good next year. But I think Pleasanton advances, and I think you would have a worthy finalist against St. Francis then.
Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Well, that's today. Let's look a little bit ahead towards a Saturday with the four football games, the semifinals in A, the semifinals in B. Grand Island was a point or field goal away from being maybe the most underrated team in the state semifinals in either class, and they come up short to Elkhorn. But give us your preview of A and B. A has some good games. B has the Adams Central Aurora rematch.
Well, the big game that everybody wants to see this week in the big classes is the rematch between Miller South and Elkhorn. Elkhorn's been beaten twice, but they garner more respect than any two-loss team there is in the state. They have a devastating running game, and the people at Miller South got a real mouthful of that the first time around. They actually gave up 573 yards rushing and won the ball game. I thought only Nebraska did that sort of thing. But as it is, they gave up 573, won the game. They have got some marvelous talent, the kid at quarterback, Bronson Marsh. I'll tell you what, Bronson Marsh is, first of all, three times in a row, he's thrown for over 2,000 yards in Class A, which is quite an achievement in itself. He's, you know, 6 foot, 200 pounds, can run the ball, got a great arm. I mean, he's just a classic dual threat quarterback. Kid on that team that I saw with Mona Eyes the other night. You know, they're playing Papillion. They know they're going to give up some points. They've got to make some plays on defense. The first time Papillion has the ball, they throw it over the middle. Quinn Urban intercepts the pass, runs it back for a touchdown. Who is Quinn Urban? Quinn Urban is their safety, and he's a guy that Nebraska's looking at. He's on their radar. I don't claim to be a recruiting expert, but I know that's true from talking to Sean Callahan. And you know, they've got a big offensive line. Elkhorn has done all of this despite losing a couple real key players on offense for parts of this this stretch run. Everybody's going to have a chance to play, though, on Saturday. And I think that is going to be a classic. And as far as Aurora and Adams Central, you'd hate to think it could happen, but it's a very strong chance it will happen, that Adams Central could wind up being the second-best team in the state and not get to the finals because they can't find a way to beat Aurora. I think, you know, when you follow along, a lot of times when a team wins a championship, they've got to face adversity at some point or another. And I got a feeling Aurora did that, got that out of the way last week. You know, they're on the road at McCook, and McCook's McCook, and all this, and the rematch, and they got behind. And, you know, what happens when you get behind? Well, how do you respond? Responded by scoring four touchdowns in a row and basically squashing McCook. And I don't know. Sure, there's a way Adams Central could win the ball game. I don't think they will win the ball game. I think the score could wind up pretty similar. I don't look for Aurora to blow them out, but Aurora is really playing well, and that will be a great game. And the other game in B, I saw Blair again last week, and I tell you what, Blair is legit. Scott, undefeated, number two, you know, all year long it's been Aurora Scott, can't wait to see Aurora Scott. Well, we might not, because Waverly's good enough to beat him. This kid that plays running back for them, he's a boy by the name of Ryan Randall. He's about 195 pounds, and he's got a lot of running back skills besides being pretty good size and being real strong. I mean, it's not just he's a good athlete, give him the ball and just have him run straight ahead. He's got good balance. He's just really a determined runner, and they've got a big, strong, confident offensive line. Don't be surprised if Blair finds a way to beat Scott.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Well, it would be if you were from Blair. I mean, which to this point I think was best known for being where you sent your coupons for Kellogg's. I don't know why I remember that, but you kept a little coupon off your Rice Krispies. Try and get that special prize. You sent it to some post office box in Blair. I don't know. I don't know where these things come from.
Oh, Robert, thank God you're not too far away from home in case you get lost. Bob, we'll talk to you tonight, buddy. Have safe travels, and as always, thanks for joining us.
Yep, you guys do a great job. Have a safe trip. We'll see you tonight.
Take care. Bob Jensen, Husker Land Prep Report, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're getting ready for Bo Pelini's press conference, so I guess we'll take a break and come back with that here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You know, for quite a while now, I've been sharing with you how LegalZoom.com can help you create legal documents in minutes online at a fraction of the cost. Well, now I want to share with you an email LegalZoom customer Mary Ann of Stamford, Connecticut. She wrote, "I'm married to an attorney. He certainly could have prepared our wills. However, being married to an attorney is like being married to a contractor. Everybody else's house gets built when the contractor's wife waits." Well, after 25 years of waiting, Mary Ann went to LegalZoom.com, answered straightforward questions, a few. Boom! Peace of mind. Finished. Her last will was in her hands the next day. Really, LegalZoom accomplished in 2 days what her hubby hadn't done in 2 decades. Come on, dude, step it up! LegalZoom isn't a law firm. They provide self-help services at your specific direction. For even more savings, enter ESPN in the referral box at checkout to get a special discount. LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with highs around 59. Southeast winds also develop and become gusty at times towards the afternoon. For tonight, skies turn partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of a shower late with a low at 41. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 50.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on today's show. Bobolini's press conference coming up momentarily here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We remind you that Misco Sports is getting you ready for the winter sports season, whether it's basketball, wrestling, intramurals, or if you're just a fan and want to be comfortable while you watch the games, that's the place to be. Misco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center is open 7 days a week for your convenience. When it comes to wrestling, they've got the headgear, the knee pads, and the singlets by ASICS, Matt, Men, and Brute. How about a full selection of wrestling shoes from Adidas and ASICS? And when it comes to basketball, they can outfit your travel team with uniforms, warm-ups, and practice gear, Nike, Adidas, A4, and a whole lot more. And although it's not too cold, when that sun goes down, it's going to be a little chilly at your football game tonight. You might need a sweatshirt. You might need some Husker gear. You might need your favorite college or NFL team to put on under the jacket or coat, and they've got those for you as well. Misco Sports, see Steve and the gang today on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. Joe and Kearney says, hey, guys, I was having a conversation with someone this morning about our offense. And when he means our offense, he means Nebraska's offense. And Joe made this observation, Tony. He says, our offense wasn't really that good or explosive until Joe Gans took it over a year and a half ago. And he'd already been there for like 4 years, along with Swift and Peterson. Does that not say that maybe this offense Watson is running is way too complicated for college football? If it takes our guys 3 or 4 years to learn it, that means we're going to have maybe 1.5 years of a really good offense and then 3 years of what we have now. I don't know about you, but in college, you change guys so much it seems it would be beneficial to have an offense you can plug guys into and they'd be able to succeed right away. Your thoughts? This has been a bash ever since Callahan took over at Nebraska and didn't have the quarterback that could throw the football. And the West Coast offense never really has seemed to take off here, and that's still a version of what they're trying to do with the running game and the short passes.
Yeah, isn't our best offense right now the I formation when we go to that and hey, and giving the ball to Roy and going off tackle, left or right, it doesn't matter?
And, Tony, I think that's where a lot of the frustration is coming in, and it has to be coming in from the coaches as well. We want to run this. We don't have the personnel to run it. Or we want to run this, and we don't have the personnel to run it. Or this is working, but this is not what we want to be teaching our guys. We're bringing in guys to pass block and run this type of offense. Now all of a sudden we need to make them run blockers and bulky and more powerful than with speed.
Well, one thing I found very interesting that a buddy of mine pointed out last night. He said, do you realize when we go out, and this guy's actually went back and had the game on film and went back and looked at this. When you go out, and we go out in the spread offense.
I think we're close here to Bo Pelini coming up, Tony, so let's take it live to Lincoln. Coach Bo Pelini and his weekly press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show as they get ready for Kansas.
Are you surprised that the struggle that they had before?
Say that again.
Is that surprised you that Kansas has struggled so much here the last month?
Yeah, I think they're a good football team. I think they're very talented. You know, I know we're going to have our work cut out for us. I know they'll be ready to play, you know, a Big 12 North game, and, you know, they're playing at home. And I don't really, you know, I guess everybody, you know, I'm sure they, I really haven't followed it greatly, but I'm sure they've had some injuries and some things like that, like a lot of people go through. But I know he does a great job, runs a great program, and their coaching staff does a great job. So I know they'll have him ready to play this week.
With Reese not 100%, do you show your team stuff earlier in the year when their offense was clicking, or more reasons?
Well, we look at their whole body of work, but you know he's played well. You know, even I mean he's a good quarterback. He's a weapon. He's dangerous. You know, he scrambles well. He runs that offense really well. So I know we'll have our work cut out for us.
How much do you have to be on guard against the team after such an emotional win, protecting
against
the letdown?
We don't buy into all that, and you know, we kind of stay really consistent on our approach and how we go about it. And the team came out yesterday and practiced really hard and really fast, and I have I like where we are right now.
Hey, Bo, when you got here in 07, the defense was about as bad as any Nebraska defense has ever been. And, you know, there's been a pretty dramatic turnaround. Is it more, I realize it's a lot of things, but is it more scheme or is it more teaching and player development and guys, you know, just developing personally?
I think that's... I mean, scheme has always has something to do with it, but I don't believe it's what you do, it's how you do it, and in football, and you know, it's about fundamentals, technique, and teaching, and like you say, developing each guy individually, and also I think it's about creating an attitude, a culture, and a certain way of going about things, both practice wise and how you approach it when you take the field, and I think all those things go into it, but I think it goes well beyond scheme. You know, I mean, the scheme kind of changes. That evolves as you go along, but how you do it and the way you play every single week is something that I think is what separates somebody who plays good defense from not good defense.
Well, when you got here, did you see guys? You know, like in the spring of 08, did you see guys and envision what they could be, you know, individually with teaching, or is it hard to do that and you have to just have them develop?
Well, I think to a large extent what you have to do is you have to look and see what guys, you know, I think at that time we were trying to learn what guys could do and, you know, what our strengths, what our weaknesses were. You know, and then really address it from there. You know, I think that plays a part in it, how you build your scheme around a particular group. It also plays a part in how you attack and how you develop certain guys. But I think that's fair to say that's how you approach it. You know, you kind of look. We learned about what they could do, what they couldn't do early on, and just kept working to get better. You know, I saw a pretty slow, gradual progress last year. I thought at the end of the year we got better. I think it continues now. Believe me, we're not the finished product by any means, but I think we're continuing to get better. And as we continue to get better and the guys get more comfortable in what we're asking them to do and how we're asking them to do it, I see their confidence growing. And that's when you really can get good, when they really start to grow confidence-wise. I think that's starting to happen now.
Say you're not the finished product yet, you know, statistically you're kind of up there in a lot of the different categories. I mean, you coached in the SEC and assessing your defenses in Florida. Where do you guys rank on that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't get into all that. I know what we're capable of doing, and unfortunately, I get to watch all the practice film and all the game film and really break it down to the detail. And I just know there's a lot more out there for us, knowledge-wise, technique-wise, and execution-wise, and our guys understand that. And as long as we keep working to get better, you can't get comfortable. I know that. You know, you have to keep pushing and keep wanting more if you really want to achieve. And that's the kind of attitude our guys have taken. And you know, the worst thing we can do is sit there and want to pat ourselves on the back. That's how you get. That's how you get hit in the mouth. And our guys, you know, we take a very black and white approach and showing them, you know, we did these things well, but these things they didn't hurt us today, but they could hurt us down the road. And our players understand that. We just keep working to get better. And as long as we keep that attitude, we can continue to keep getting better.
What do you make of just the way the Big 12 has changed? Last year it was kind of like the old WAC conference, and now it's become this defensive dominant league with you guys, Oklahoma and Texas.
Well, I think it, you know, it every year is going to be a little bit different. It evolves, and I just think that I guess it's cyclical a little bit, but at the same time, I don't know if it's throughout the whole league. I always said that, you know, I don't think that, you know, Oklahoma's been playing good defense, and they've, you know, for a long time now, and that's why they've won championships. And You know, Texas, as they've improved defensively and they've been playing good defensively, then that's put them in position to win championships. And that's what I believe in also. And if that, hopefully that'll lead us down the same direction. But I know this, you can't win championships without playing great, good defense. And I think that's proven to be the case.
By the same token, do you think defenses are maybe catching up to these offenses a little bit, or are defenses adjusting to what offenses have been doing in college football?
I don't know about adjusting. I still see a lot of points being scored throughout the country. You know, I mean, that's still happening a lot. I think it's, I don't care, you know, scheme wise, I don't know how much things change. You know, some people have evolved, some people haven't, but. I believe a good defense can stop any offense, period. And can you completely shut them down? That isn't always going to be the case. There are a lot of things that go into that. But I don't think it's a matter of having to catch up. I think it's a matter of playing better defense and executing better. And one thing that's really helped us is we're good up front. We're really good up front. And when you're good up front, I think that's one thing that's a common theme throughout all the teams that are playing good defense right now is they're good up front. And if you're good up front, you can handle the middle of the field and do that. It can create a lot of problems for an offense, both run game wise, pass game wise, and that's the case with us right now. And I think if you look, that's a common theme throughout all the teams right now that are playing good defense. I'm not saying that we're not good in the back end and at linebacker and everything else, but it all starts there. It starts with being able to control the line of scrimmage.
In a basic sense, what does having a good front four allow you to do with your safeties?
Allows you to do a lot of different things. Allows you to play two high safeties when you want. It allows you to be very multiple in what you do. And if you're not good up front, then you don't feel like you have to be committing defensive back safeties down in the box all the time. And you're very limited in what your options are when you're good up front and you're controlling the line of scrimmage. You can give different looks. You can be a lot more multiple. And fortunately for me, that's a luxury I've had over my coaching career. I've understood that you have to develop your guys up front. And I think that was the case with all the good defenses I've been around, because it allows you to do a lot more things in the passing game, and a lot more. It gives you a lot more options.
But one thing you have to face in the Big 12 is a real experienced quarterback. How does Reesing's experience change this game, or some things that you might accomplish?
Well, he's really good. I mean, he's just a competitor. I have a lot of respect for Todd Reesing and the way he approaches the game. He's a competitor. He's a winner. And I think he really understands their system. He's been doing it for a number of years. I think he runs it very well, and he's very efficient in what he does. And it creates a challenge for you to go against a guy like that, because he's kind of been there, seen it all, been there, done that, and there's not a lot you can give him that he hasn't experienced before.
As you see it, have you guys capitalized a lot on that, the inexperience of the quarterbacks you faced in the Big 12?
Somewhat. That always helps. But at the same time, we don't really change. I don't really pay attention to who the signal caller. I don't really change a lot of my game plan according to who we play. I kind of look at what they do and try and take away what they do, regardless of who's back there. And I might change, a call here or there, But overall, you got to take away what a team does best and really defend the offense more so than the people running it.
When you look at a team coach that's been struggling like they have, you look at their tape and break it down, are you looking at what they aren't able to do right now, or what they have done and what they were capable of doing?
Well, you have to, the way I approach it is you have to figure they're going to be at their best. And you've got to figure that they're going to execute it at a top-notch level no matter what, and that's what we have to be prepared for. And that's kind of how we prepare our guys, if you want to be dominant and you want to, you know, you want to play really high quality football, that's what you have to. You have to be prepared that you're going to get the best shot.
Considering the offense's performance the last month, Coach, what would you consider viable progress against Kansas?
I expect our offense to play very well this week, and we need to play better. I thought we did some good things the other night. You know, I think the circumstances of the game and what was, you know, the aura of what was going on, it played into us, you know, being very conservative. And, that ended up being the plan. And as the game played out, it was the right way to win the football game. And we were all on the same page in that. But every week's going to be different. You know, we have to be prepared this week to put points on the board and to do it early and often. Because we're playing a pretty explosive offense with some guys that can hurt you at any time. It was very much the case against Oklahoma. They had some explosive athletes. It was just the way the game went. They never really forced us to be more wide open, and we didn't need to be. So it was the right formula for that day. But this week, we got to be ready to open it up and ready to come after them and score some points.
That being said, do you want to get in the track meet with these guys?
I'm a defensive coach. I don't like track meets.
How do you go about picking a quarterback for Saturday's matchup? And until either Cody Green or Zach Lee puts up a lot of points, is it just a game time decision as each game goes on?
Yeah, and I have confidence in both guys. The offense doesn't change according to who's in there or who's the starter. And there's a chance you could see one of them. There's a chance you could see both of them in the game. Once again, we have a lot of confidence in both guys and see how the game plan formulates as the week goes on and how the practice goes, and then we make our decisions accordingly. Kind of, we're pretty much like we do at every position.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, when you were trying to, you know, decide on a quarterback, you kind of said, you know, I really don't want to switch back and forth between the game, just kind of want to go with one guy. And now it's a little bit different. How much has this changed for you as the weeks have gone on with the situation?
You know what? I want to win. I mean, I want to win. Whatever I feel is going to give our football team the best opportunity in any given week or any given circumstance, that's what I'm going to do. I have a responsibility to the whole football team and the fans and everybody associated with this program. I'm here to win. I'm not here to, whatever I feel, whatever we feel as a coaching staff needs to be done, that's what we're prepared to do.
So the offensive identity, so to speak, isn't affected by which quarterback's in the game?
No, not at all. We build our game plan and obviously there might be a play here, a play there, a couple plays here or there that change accordingly, but for the most part, our both guys are multi-talented guys, can run and throw and do a lot of things, so it doesn't change much.
How would you rate the play of Alfonso and Prince, and did you foresee them being this good at this point?
I think they've played well. I think they need to continue to get better. I see some things that they can do better. They're competing. They're challenging receivers. They understand where their help's coming from, when they're getting help. Coach Sanders does a tremendous job with that group, is getting them to understand what we're trying to accomplish each week. You throw Eric Hague into that group, and and Gomes, and Anthony West has come in and played some huge snaps for us the last few weeks, and then obviously along with the safeties, that secondary group is doing some really good things. But they, we still fight the urge to shoot ourselves in the foot every now and then, and make with a mental error or just a lack of concentration, but. Last week, I thought overall it was a pretty solid performance.
What did Alfonso have to do to take the next step as a player? He wasn't starting at the beginning of the year. What was it that where he made that jump?
Experience. I think he plays the ball real well. He was just very. He's always been a very aggressive guy, very competitive, and that he'll shouldn't say take chances, but he challenges guys, and he'll get right up in people's face and challenge people. But you know, he didn't always understand exactly what we wanted from him, and obviously his camp went through, and then early in the season he started to grow into the position, and I think his just whole overall level of understanding of the defense is much better, and it's allowing him to play better. And you know, it's played out that way.
You guys do some things that are more like a base defense. Can you do that personnel-wise when A, the Gomes are in the game? Even though they're the nickel and the dime, can they do some things that are linebacker-like in their set of skills?
Yeah, they actually do a lot of things that are linebacker-like. You know, we use those guys a lot of times, very very similar to what we do linebackers. I mean, the play Haig made on the fourth down play, he was lined up as a weak side linebacker. And that was a great play by him on a big time back. And they're big, they have nice size to them, but they're very athletic, and now their level of understanding is better, that we can use them in a lot of different roles within each game plan. And And, you know, it gives us a lot more versatility and puts a lot of speed on the field.
Well, what's it do to your coaching confidence when you hold Oklahoma and Missouri, two teams that combined for 114 points against Nebraska last year, to just 12 this year?
Well, it just shows me we're making some progress. And, it doesn't do anything for my confidence. I probably have too much of that at times. But, I look at it, I think we're making some progress, but... Like I said, I really have a pretty good handle on how far we still have to go, and to me, it's a pretty long way to really get where I envision us being, but I do understand. I really have a lot of, I really like our football team and the kids on our football team, because they've continued to work. And they keep working to get better every day, and I've seen steady progress, and that aspect of it has been rewarding for me as a coach, because I see these kids getting better and developing.
You started to have some success running the ball in the second half against Oklahoma. Was it something that happened on Oklahoma's defense, or was it something that clicked for you guys on the other side?
Well, I thought we blocked we blocked some plays pretty well. I thought the schemes, we had a couple schemes that really hit them. And it was a good mix in the running game, and I thought the physical nature of our offense and our offensive line, that was as physical some executing some run plays as we've had in a while, and that was good to see. And I thought we came off the football and took advantage of some things that were there, and obviously when Roy's running the way he is, the way he was there on a couple of those runs and made a couple cuts that were pretty special. So I thought it was a team thing. It was good to see. We needed to get some yards and make a couple plays in those situations. We were able to do it.
Coach, how do you feel your quarterbacks have responded? Both of them have been replaced in a game been replaced by somebody else. Now, how have they responded to that psychologically?
They're great kids, and I think Cody was upset the other night. I mean, because he's a competitor, but he understood what was going on, why we did it. We talked about it, and believe me, those guys, more than anything, they just want to win. They're team guys, and believe me, they both want to be the guy, and they both see themselves as being the guy. And I think that one thing that's about it, we've had a direct line and a clear communication with them throughout the whole process. And the thing that's special about those two young men is they're both for each other. There's not a they're team guys. They're for each other, and they want to do. There's a trust that goes on between the coaches and the players, and they just want to win, and that's that aspect of it. So it's not like they're going like this. If that was the case, then we'd have some issues. But that hasn't been the case, because I think the communication's been pretty direct, constant, and we all been on the same page.
Your approach offensively Saturday was pretty conservative, low risk. Can your defense play as well as it is? Why not stick with that? What are the downsides to it?
Well, like I said, each week is going to be a little bit different. You don't know you know, we watch a lot of film, we watch our opponent, and going in each game, you have to make a decision with what you, you know, what you believe going in. You got to formulate your game plan to be able to react and adapt to any situation that happens on any given game. And, you know, so, you know, sometimes there's always going to be a conservative aspect to the game plan. There's also got to be one where you got to open up pretty quick, you know, in case things aren't going the way you want on the other side of the football. And I think we're ready to adapt to anything that we need to do. You need, any given day, one thing I've learned as a coach is you got to be able to, you got to respect the game. And each week, you know, the circumstances are going to change. You got to be ready to do whatever it takes on that given day to win the football game. And I think we'll be. I think we're ready to do that.
You like to take it game by game, week by week, with, you know, 3 games left and the teams you end up playing, kind of control your own fate here. How much do you let yourself look at the big picture?
I don't look at it at all. All I worry about is today. All I'm concerned with is Kansas. And because the big picture doesn't mean anything if we if I lose sight of that. And I preach that to my players, and I try and live that myself, because it's all about today and the process that's going to get us to Saturday. And we need to play a better football. We need to play better, and we need to do that. We got to keep getting better each day. And believe me, we're not at the point as a program where we can miss a day. And we got to keep working to get better and improve each guy on our football team.
A little off topic, but Britton, where you guys were entertaining the notion of playing Boise State in 2011, is that a game you would consider playing in Boise? And Boise's carped quite a bit about BCS conference foes ducking them. What kind of goes into the process of considering that game?
I haven't really thought about it, to be honest with you. I'm just concerned with Kansas. Last thing I'm concerned with is what's going to happen in 2011 right now.
Coach, when you took the green jersey off Roy last week, was that kind of a challenge to see how healthy he really was, or did he just pick up his game on his own?
No, that really, really. I mean, that's the green jersey. That's more comes from Roy and the training staff, the doctors. I don't have a lot to do with that.
So obviously he wasn't as tentative Saturday, you think, when he picked it up that time?
No, I think he was as healthy as he's been in a month. I mean, he hasn't, you know, I mean, he's been nicked up, and I think he was feeling pretty good. You know, I mean, that started during the week.
It seems like, Coach, you have a lot of players that come in and redeem themselves. They face some tough times, but they come in and redeem themselves. Is that a testament to their character or the system that keeps them, I guess, going?
Probably a little bit of both. I know you're not gonna be able to bounce back if you don't have character, but you know, it doesn't happen without support, and you know, hopefully there's a culture of trust and things that go on around here that enables guys to do that.
All these are signs that the culture is seeping in and becoming more ingrained.
I would hope so, but like I said, there's a ways to go in that area, and we have a long way to go as a program right now. And it's only going to be done by continuing to roll up our sleeves and putting in hard work.
I think he's referring to probably O'Hanlon there when the guy comes back and redeems himself. He's a guy that left the school originally, then tried out as a walk-on here, and he's where he's at now. Can you just comment a little bit on just kind of the path he's traveled to get where he's at?
Well, Matt's an exceptional young man, and I mean, it's never easy. It's you know, no matter what. One thing, you know, whether you're on scholarship, it's even more magnified when you're a walk-on. But even if you're a scholarship player, you're going to go through ups and downs, emotional highs and lows, and you have to be strong, and you have to keep persevering if you want to achieve. And I think Matt's done that. I mean, you know, you especially when you're a defensive back, you know, you can play in a game where you play 87 snaps, you can play 86 really good ones, and all people are going to remember is that bad one. And you got to be strong enough to overcome that, mentally tough enough to keep persevering. And Matt's done that. He's continued to get better, and you know, I think right now he's playing pretty good football. And, I mean, he made some big plays for us the other night.
Are you still doing the walk-on draft?
Oh, yeah, we did it early in the season. We have one I know we had one in the fall. I think we've been doing it like twice a year.
What's the chances of the guy making it when you guys do that?
Depends on the guy. You know, if somebody shows the ability to play here and you know, exhibits dust that he, you know, warrants, you know, getting an opportunity to get on the field, we bring him in and give him an opportunity. And, you know, that all depends on, you know, you've got to be prepared when they come for the workout. You know, some of them, you know, as of late, you know, most of our walk-ons have come, you know, being invited walk-ons and that type of thing. And we, I can't think off the top of my head, how it's gone, but because we've had a number of them now, but you know, you got to be prepared when they get here. Some of them aren't truly understand what they're walking into when they come to that workout, but that'll continue. We'll continue that program.
How many guys did we show up?
Oh, I'm trying to think of what, you know, Jeff Jamrog is back there. How many came this year, Jeff?
About 40.
About 40
so
this
if
year.
You get 40, how many do you guys call back to come out?
How many? We'll one.
Okay. What was that this year?
What's that?
Young.
Yeah.
Hey, Bo, you indicated the other night that you were talking about the crowd after the Oklahoma game, and you sort of indicated that you're a little frustrated with the crowd against Iowa State and Texas Tech. Was that the case?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say even before that. I mean, it just seemed like it wasn't as, the crowd's always good, but the stadium just didn't have that juice. You know, I felt an extra bit of juice in that stadium on Saturday night, and you could feel it, and I don't think that sometimes I don't think you know the crowd realizes how big an impact they can have on a football team, on the whole world, what's going on, and give us that extra juice, and you know, you go in a game that. You know, sometimes a crowd might feel like, oh, they should win this game or whatever. And, you know, sometimes it is, you feel that. And that's been the case everywhere I've been. I mean, I shouldn't say that. That's a lot of the case. It's human nature. But, you know, I just made it an example. I was trying to give an example to our crowds, our fans, that, boy, you can, how big impact they can have. I thought they had a huge impact on that game the other night. And, I hope that continues. I like that to be the case no matter whether we're playing Oklahoma or whatever, Scott Junior High School.
You have the first score on the Oklahoma game, but not in the other two. Does it put any pressure on you guys to score first?
Well, you always like to score first, but like I said, it sure would, you know, that shouldn't matter.
Back to the offense real quick. It seems like this unit will be better suited to be a top run team. The experience on at wide receiver and experience at quarterback. Would you like to see them? Would you like to see you be able to pound teams and run the ball consistently?
Absolutely. I'd like to see that happen more consistently. That's one of the things that hasn't happened consistently. But you have to have balance to be able to get that done. You know, you have to be able to throw the football too. You know, exhibiting the ability to pass the football is going to allow you to run the football and vice versa. Because if they don't feel like you can throw the football, you're going to be running the ball against 9, 8, 9, 10 man fronts. And I don't care how good you are, if you do, it's hard to do that consistently. So you have to have both.
With Roy being your only playmaker against Oklahoma pretty much, do you worry about your offense going one-dimensional down the stretch?
No. I think we have a good plan. I like where we're some of the things that we're doing right now, and I have a lot of confidence in Watts and the offensive staff, we'll find a way.
If you could sum up the events of the last 2 weeks, Iowa State and Oklahoma, how would you sum it up?
I'm worried about Kansas. That's all I'm worried about.
Anything else? Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, guys.
That's Nebraska football coach Bo Pelini.
Thank you, Keith Mann. Thank you for stopping that.
The longest press conference of the year, Nebraska coach Bo Pelini. But again, we know the listeners, Husker fans, they want to know what they want to know. All, and we know a lot more.
The first 25 minutes is fine. It's the last eight questions that you just go.
This tryout camp and
Boise State.
Had you?
I've not heard Boise State mentioned at all.
But Bo Pelini didn't say I haven't heard that. Interesting.
Good to just focus on Kansas.
Well, that would be in Nebraska at Boise on a Thursday night. Wow. We can already see that. I don't care. I'm going.
That'd be fun.
Don't care. I'm going. Don't care. Don't care. I'm going to get on the sideline. I'm going to ask Scott Frost, hey, just in case I need to yank somebody, you know, off the field here, what do I do?
We could do the reenactment.
You could do it.
I could do the reenactment. I could be blunt on you.
I'll crush you. You got a glass jaw. Coming up, we break down what Bo Pelini had to say. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia on the way, and we wrap up the show right after this.
Food for thought from Farmers. No one wants to think about all the things that can go wrong. But at Farmers Insurance, that's what we've been doing for the last 80 years. So today, our disaster response team watches weather patterns and developing storms so we can be first on the scene to lend a hand, a strong back, or even just a shoulder. To find an agent near you, visit farmers.com today for auto, home, small business, and life insurance. And be ready for tomorrow.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Stop harmful spam and virus intrusions.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall is an integrated hardware and software solution that processes and filters out bad email before it enters your network. With no per-user fees and automatic updates, the Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall is the most cost-effective solution for protecting your network from email-borne threats. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or visit Barracuda.com.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Waltrip, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
We don't cut corners, Vidalkey Heating and Air.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center is giving you an opportunity to save up to $600 on Resound hearing aids during a special event November 18th and 19th. A representative from Resound will be on hand for demonstrations and free consultations. During this special event, you can save up to $600 on Resound hearing aids. ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center, 615 West 39th Street. Call today, 308-865-2277.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with highs around 59. Southeast winds also develop and become gusty at times towards the afternoon. For tonight, skies turn partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of a shower late with a low at 41. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 50.
Anything you don't run by me. No.
Oh, you'll like
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Coming up, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. But, Daddy, what do we learn from Bo Pelini's press conference today?
Well, nothing once again. And I'm just, with his thoughts on the offense and how confident he is in everybody.
Well, I thought one of the slip-ups was when he said it doesn't, you know, we're doing whatever with the quarterbacks, that it doesn't really change the game plan who's in there. Whoa, really?
Well, the game plan's night and day, depending on who's in there.
It should, yeah.
Well,
it
should
change it a little bit, shouldn't it? And it probably hasn't to this point. Maybe that's one of the problems.
Well, you know, and part of the problem Saturday that I had was when, well, when Cody gets in there to start the game, and they don't really utilize Helu at all. with him. They, you know, put the, you want to put all the pressure on the freshman quarterback. No, I think you'd want to take it off your freshman quarterback and let him, you know, establish a little bit of confidence and get himself going. Then you put Lee in there, and it's handed off every time to him.
Oh, and the interesting point was also brought up. Todd Reesing will be the only experienced, say what you want about Cody Hawkins, if he gets to start against Colorado, he's going to be the only experienced quarterback the way that this played out this year that Nebraska's going to face in the Big 12.
How is, what happened this year to this conference?
Well, and it's not over.
Didn't we think this was if not next to the SEC, the premier conference in college football?
Well, see, the bottom teams are coming up. There's no Vanderbilts here.
Yeah, bottom teams are coming up, and we're meeting in Crapville.
I don't know. They were trying to lead him, and I think our friend Dirk Chatlin, was trying to lead Bo Pelini by asking him early on about, you know, when you came here and the defense was about as bad as it could be in the country and you turned it around, what did you see?
That question was really about the offense now.
Yeah, that was about the offense now. What should we be expecting next year? I mean, in between lines. Coach, if we bring in somebody new, does that mean the offense will instantly get better, or are the kids just not very good? That's exactly where that question is going.
Exactly correct. I thought when he was asking, I was just shaking my head because I thought he was actually going to go a step further and say something about the offense and irritate the coach. But I think it's so mundane, and you're just not getting much out of him. Several players sat out practice yesterday. Hopefully 90% of those or 95% of those kids are going to be back, but a lot of people banged up after that Oklahoma deal.
Yesterday was more of a stretch. They practiced without pads. They kind of went through some things for about 90 minutes to loosen up. Yeah, it was pretty physical. Oklahoma has a couple kids that are out. One for the rest of the year, one that they don't know about from that game. That was a hard, hard-hitting, physical football game on Saturday.
Well, you look at the defense, 87 plays. Philip Dillard making the comment, something to the effect of, I didn't know I had that much in me, but apparently I did. He just kept going.
Well, and you look back at some of these things, you know, that Nebraska did. They tipped passes to set up the first missed field goal. We stopped Oklahoma at the 20. Not allowing it. Later in the game, they didn't even go for a field goal because he was 1 of 4 in the football game. There's a lot of things that went Nebraska's way in this football game when you go back and dissect it, and it's still only 10-3. Here's an interesting little tidbit for you, Tony. The leading rusher for Kansas University is freshman running back Tobin Oprum. 55 yards per game. 55 yards per game. The leading rusher on this football team. Now, Jake Sharp's at 52, so I guess you put them together, they're at the 100. But that's not very good.
Has anybody fallen as far in the Heisman race as Todd Reesing has the last 4 weeks? He was mentioned 4 weeks ago as a possible invitee to New York. Now, just as free falling.
Well, remember when everybody thought Kansas would be 8-1 coming into this game and their only loss would be to Oklahoma? They've lost to Colorado. They've lost to Texas Tech. They've lost to Kansas State. They were lucky they didn't lose to Iowa State. They've got Nebraska, Texas, and Missouri left. This team could go 1-7 in the Big 12. 1-7. They could miss a bowl game. Let's do some Troutman's Tuesday trivia, and don't forget a couple of other things. Hastings College men's basketball at Lincoln tonight to take on the Huskers. Good luck to Coach Creech and the guys. Right. They've already played a couple of regular season games, so they've got those under their belt. We're going to take you on the air today. If you have not won in the last 2 months, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You'll have a chance to win a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend. Oh, you get ready to tailgate for Hastings at home. The Huskers on the road, but you're going to have to eat because it's, you know, it's an afternoon game. And the Loper playoff game. Oh, baby, it's Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend. And we've got a potpourri of questions today. So being kind to the callers for hanging with us through the extra 20 minutes today, let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Troy.
Troy, okay. We've got – now, what sport is your question in, Tony?
Football.
Okay. Would you like to have a question about UNK Athletics, Nebraska – or general?
Oh, let's go Nebraska, please.
Okay, here it is. This concerns Nebraska football coach Bo Pelini. He has been an NFL assistant at 3 teams. Name the 3 teams Bo Pelini's been an NFL assistant with.
Green Bay. San Francisco. Oh, boy.
Guess?
Washington. I know that's not right.
Good try, Troy. Thanks. It's a tough one today. 888-455-ESPN. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
This is Joel.
Joel, would you like UNK, Husker football, or general?
Let's try general.
Okay, he's going general. The World Series of Poker ended last night. There has been one three-time winner in the World Series of Poker. Who is it?
Phil Ivey.
Nope, not Phil Ivey. Thanks for the call. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Bill.
Bill, would you like Huskers, Lopers, or Tony's question?
Let's go Huskers.
All right, Husker question. Is yours a Husker question, Tony?
No.
It's not a Husker question. Okay. Bo Pelini has been a defensive coordinator at three universities. Name those three.
Oklahoma, Missouri, K-State.
That is incorrect. 888-455-ESPN. Let's go back to the phone lines as we're trying to find a winner on Travis.
Those are some interesting answers.
Even when Derek rolls his eyes, then I know we've got something. Who are we chatting with?
Brandon.
Brandon, what category would you like this time?
I want the last question.
Well, you're not going to get the last question.
All right, well, give me a Husker
question. You want a Husker question? Daddy, you didn't have a Husker question, did you? Okay, I've got to come with a Husker question for Brandon. This Husker question, should I repeat? We'll repeat. Bo Pelini has been an assistant coach with three NFL teams. Who are those NFL teams?
I know Green Bay and San Francisco, and I think it was New England, but I'm not for sure.
That is correct. Congratulations. Hang on.
Good
the line.
Work.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got New England either. $25 gift card coming your way.
Hey Brandon?
Yeah.
Zach Robinson from Oklahoma State just became Oklahoma State's all-time passing leader. Who did he go by?
Mike Gundy.
That's so easy. Thank God nobody wanted your question. Hey, on the line, Brandon, and Derek will get your information. We'll get you set up with Troutman's. Wow, really? Really, by the way, the general, Stu Unger, has won the World Series
three
of Poker.
Times.
Three times. The only man to win the main event three times.
And
so
now,
there you go.
He's not going to win it four either.
You go. By the way, the tunnel walk was cool Saturday.
I think a lot of people thought that. You're starting to see a lot of things on YouTube popping up on the tunnel walk from the Oklahoma game.
Yeah, the good old days. You can get to YouTube and see about anything you want to see, huh? Hey, we want to thank Mike Babcock from Huskers Illustrated for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today and breaking down where he thinks the Huskers are and where they have yet to go in the next three games. Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report for joining us as always. The state football playoffs are today. Starts at 3:30 this afternoon on 1230 KHAS. Again, for all of the listings and to listen to any of them, go to ESPNSuperstation.com. Tomorrow, we recap. And we got a lot of volleyball talk. We are anticipating Rick Squires, UNK volleyball coach. We're also going to get ready for the state tournament. Among our guests, Chris Connor of Kearney Catholic, Peg Heiss from Wood River, plus a lot more football talk as we get ready down the week. We're going to be talking with the head football coach, Saginaw Valley State, UNK's opponent. We'll catch up with Daryl Morris. Friday, all kinds of things going on as well. Efforting Mark Mangino for you as well. All coming up this week on the Doug and Daddy Show.
1460, Kearney, 1550, Hastings. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.